Hour number three, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5. The Game, Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Wednesday morning. Looking ahead to the big game on Sunday between the Titans and the Colts. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in Kevin Bowen from 107.5 The Fan in Indianapolis. Kevin, what's going on, man? How you doing?
What's up, guys? Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. So, Kevin, it seems like Phillip Rivers and this offense is finding their form the past couple of weeks against both the Titans and the Green Bay Packers. What are you seeing right now from the Colts offensively, and what do you think's coming together there?
Well, I think if you go back to the first meeting, the quick tempo I thought really sparked some things down there in Nashville. The Colts moved the ball really probably as consistently as they have all season long. I want to say they had seven drives to start that game, all reached at least the Tennessee 30-yard line, and more than half of them reached inside the 10, and we just haven't seen this team move the football anywhere like that this season. So I thought the quick tempo, a little bit of no huddle, helped things on a short week against the Tennessee defense that I thought was a bit tired. And then what you guys saw in that Thursday night matchup was two young skill guys really showing out in Michael Pittman and Nyheim Hines. Hines wasn't as involved last week against the Packers, but Pittman had a couple big plays in his first NFL touchdown. So I think it's kind of a combination of some of that stuff. They ran it pretty well against Green Bay, which they haven't done this season. So I think those are some factors that have played into it.
Yeah, Pittman, obviously a guy who has a lot of ability, has not been able to show it a lot this year. How much do you think that's just changing things for Phillip Rivers, Kevin, in terms of just giving him that that option that maybe T.Y. Hilton has been for the Colts in the past, but now you've got another guy like that who can actually stretch a defense and take the ball after the catch and be dangerous?
Yeah, I think it's absolutely huge. You know, when you think about Phillip Rivers in his career, the big body wideouts, Vincent Jackson, Tyrell Johnson, who we had a couple of years ago, even Keenan Allen or Mike Williams. I mean, those are taller wideouts. T.Y. Hilton is not that mold. So I think Pittman gives him a comfortability with the size. But then, like you mentioned, what Pittman has shown after the catch, you know, you can kind of see a little bit of his dad. You know, his dad was an NFL running back for over a decade and was on that Super Bowl team in Tampa. And I think that's what we're seeing, especially on Sunday against Green Bay. We saw Pittman in the open field on a couple crossers, turn up field, and, you know, he's 4-5, which is very respectable in the 40-yard dash, but I think he runs violently in the open field. I think the Colts have really needed to lean on some sort of skill player to step up and take more of the brunt, especially in the passing game. And now that Pittman's back from an injury that sidelined him for a few games, he's carrying that. And this is a guy with a high draft pick. I mean, he's taken 34 overall in a really deep wideout draft. So this is not like this is that much of a surprise.
Kevin Bowen from 107.5 The Fan in Indianapolis joining us here on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Kevin, Jonathan Taylor, a big game on Sunday against Green Bay, 22 carries for 90 yards, and it's been an up-and-down year for Jonathan Taylor so far. What do you think he is right now in terms of his progression, and how much of a factor do you think he could be on Sunday for the Colts in this game against the Titans?
Yeah, you know, he, I want to say against Tennessee, maybe it was the game before, he kind of got benched for the second straight week. And, you know, it's really been up in the air since Marlon Mack went down in week one, how they would handle those kind of lead running back reps. And Nyheim Hines, you know, had that breakout game offensively as both the runner and a receiver. But last week against Green Bay in the third quarter, they stuck with Taylor. He kind of struggled in the first half, and they tried Hines and Jordan Wilkins, who's their other running back, early in that game. Not a lot of success there. But against Green Bay's run defense, which is not good, the Colts decided to kind of stick with that run, and I thought it was the best we've seen from Taylor, you know, creating a little bit more yards that weren't necessarily there. I think that's been a struggle for him. He's got this, you know, God-gifted ability talent-wise of, you know, weighing nearly 230 pounds and running 4.3, but yet we haven't really seen a lot of that. A little bit in the open field, but that's more in the passing game. We haven't seen a lot of that between the tackles, but I thought against Green Bay we started to see more of that, and it's no secret. The Colts want to run the football. You don't draft, you know, four guys in the top 40 picks and trade up for Jonathan Taylor and not want to be a heavy run team, but they have not run it effectively, especially in short yardage this season, so we'll see. You know, Sunday I would consider it the best game of Jonathan Taylor's career. That's not saying a whole lot. He hadn't set the bar very high. But now is that going to be the norm moving forward of this run game, you know, finding a resurgence? Because the offensive line has...
I think we may have lost Kevin there on our phone line. We'll try to get him back here coming up. But some great talk there from Kevin in terms of the running game. That was a problem for the Colts earlier this season. And it didn't make a whole lot of sense with the way that the offensive line is kind of set up there. But Jonathan Taylor was great on Sunday against the Packers. Now, I'll be the first one to tell you, like, the Packers defense against the run is awful, but it was bad on Sunday against the Colts. Let's go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com, and bring in Kevin Bowen of 107.5 The Fan in Indianapolis. So, Kevin, I want to ask you about DeForest Buckner. How big of an impact has he had defensively for this group in terms of what they've been able to do and how dominant they've been at times defensively this year?
Yes. Sorry about that, guys. I'm driving through a little bit of rain here in Indy.
But, you're fine.
Yeah, Buckner, you know, when you look at the trade, I mean, the Colts traded the 13th overall pick for DeForest Buckner. That's no joke, you know, when you trade that high of a pick for a defensive tackle. You know, this isn't a quarterback or a wideout or an edge rusher. This is a defensive tackle. And if you look at his stats, just purely sacks, tackle for loss, they won't jump off the page at you, but he's really doing a lot to this team. He plays a ton of snaps for a guy that weighs 300 pounds. I think he set some other people up on that defensive line. Danico Autry, you know, has been a guy that I think's given the Titans some fits over the past couple years. Justin Houston, you know, seemingly has a sack about every game, or at least nearly every game. So I think Buckner's presence has just really helped this team feel better about their front. They want to rush 4 and drop 7. They don't want to blitz a whole lot. And so I think Buckner just gives them more of an interior presence that's helping out that entire line.
And with you mentioned Autry, I'm glad you mentioned him. I was going to ask, obviously he was on the COVID list, could not play against the Packers. Kamoko Touré, though, has kind of come into the mix. So what does that look like for Sunday? What does it mean if it's the same thing and Autry can't play?
Yeah, so Autry is still up in the air. Frank Reich won't reveal if he had symptoms or not with this positive COVID test. If he was symptomatic, he won't play. If he was asymptomatic, he still has a chance to play. Touré made his debut here in 2020 last week, only played 10 snaps, and he's going up against a pretty good left tackle, David Bakhtiari. I know, you know, the Titans are dealing with some issues at left tackle right now health-wise. So Touré is their best speed rusher. He gives them just a different presence off the edge. You know, Buckner in the interior, Touré is a guy that has more of that fastball. So, you know, I'll be curious to see maybe a more expanded pitch count going up against a little bit of a weaker left tackle. Now, as far as Autry, I thought the play of the game when these two teams met a few weeks ago was the Autry sack on a 3rd and 1 about midway through the third quarter. Titans had just stuck the Colts to the goal line. Got a couple first downs and getting out of the shadow of their own goal line. And then on that 3rd and 1, I think Henry was off the field. Tannehill ran a boot, and that's something the Colts have had issues with. And Autry, who's not the most disciplined guy, he stayed at home, made the sack on that 3rd and 1, shank punt, Colts take advantage, score, Colts get another 3 and out, and then they had the block punt. So I know it's not maybe the highlight play everyone points to, but I thought that 3rd and 1 sack by Autry was a huge play in that game.
Yeah, no doubt. Huge, huge sequence there. So, Kevin, do you think this game is basically the AFC South champion? Is it that simple? Team that wins this thing inside track, likely to win the division?
Yeah, I think so. I'm kind of a loser, so I like to look at the analytical numbers on what a win or a loss would mean for playoff odds. And I think for the Colts right now, they have like a 55% chance to win the division. If they win on Sunday, that goes up to like 85%. If they lose, it goes down to, I want to say, like 18% or even maybe lower than that. And it's because the Colts have already lost in the division to Jacksonville, whereas the Titans only lost in the division to the Colts. So the Colts didn't help themselves out by losing that season opener in Jacksonville. And they still have Houston twice. And I don't think Houston is your typical 3-7 football team. You know, I don't want to see Deshaun Watson twice if I'm the Colts. So, yeah, I think this one is absolutely massive. you know, the winner of this, I would say, has firm control. The wild card picture for the Colts doesn't look as great because they've lost some head-to-heads against Cleveland and Baltimore already. So just a big one. You know, this time last year, Tennessee came into Lucas Oil Stadium and beat the Colts. The Colts haven't won a division title since 2014. So this is about as big as you can get, you know, for late November.
Kevin Bowen from 107.5 The Fan in Indianapolis has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Show. Kevin, thanks so much for joining us, and great stuff. Looking forward to the game on Sunday.
Yeah, guys. Happy Thanksgiving. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Yeah. Happy Thanksgiving to you as well. When we come back, how do the Titans go about slowing down Phillip Rivers in this matchup? He tore him apart with the short stuff in the last game. How do you defend that in this game? That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.